All this season, Pulse 2 will be taking a look at the history of the Rugby Football League with our game caller Mick Gledel and sports historian Tony Collins as it celebrates its 125-year anniversary. In this episode, Mick and Tony talk about the sport landscape in Bradford and beyond in the second half of the 1800s and how the Rugby Football Union started.
Tony is synonymous in rugby league. He has acted as a consultant to the Rugby Football League, and he has been described as the sport's leading historian. He has wrote numerous books. He's been 3 times awarded the Lord Aberdare Literary Prize for Sports History Book of the Year. And you might remember probably the most famous book, Tony, Rugby's Great Split, which obviously charted what happened in 1895 at the George Hotel and the events leading up to it. So I think without further ado, Tony, we'll just introduce yourself.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks very much. And I think when I did Rugby's Great Split, which is going back, it's over 20 years ago now, that was, like every other fan, I wanted to know what had happened. How do we get the two games? And I was lucky enough, because I was working at a university as well, that I was interested in what British society was like in the 1800s. And so the two, being a rugby league fan and being a historian, came together. And since then, I've kind of had a dream job, because I've written about rugby league right through its history from the 1800s to the 21st century, and I've written about other sports as well. But if you know, I owe it all to being a rugby league fan, because if I weren't a rugby league fan, I'd have never have written that first book and never have got into it. So you know, the game's been as good to me as what it has to any player.
Well, over the course of the coming season, we're going to chat what exactly happened that led to the Great Split, what happened of course at the George Hotel in 1895, and then we're going to take you through the decades, almost like getting in Doctor Who's TARDIS and having a good look at the big key events and the major sporting occurrences in the sport of rugby league right up to present day. So Tony, we're going to start. You're in Bradford and it's 1863. What does the sporting landscape look like in the city of Bradford?
Well, there's not much of a sporting landscape compared to what we have today. There were cricket clubs, there were gentlemen's clubs where, you know, middle-class professional blokes could go to play games. There would have been a gym. But in terms of what we think of as modern mass spectator sports, there was no organised rugby, there was no organised football. It was kind of at the start of what we think of as modern sport. So in 1863, it was schoolboys, some of whom had been educated at a school outside of Leeds called Bramham College, who got together to form Bradford Football Club. And in those days, football could mean either soccer, association football, or rugby football. And when you go back, you'll see like Hull FC. Hull, today's Hull FC, it's Hull Football Club, because they were the first club in Hull to play any type of football. So the first Bradford club was the first football club of any type to be founded in Bradford, and in fact, you know, 40 years before Bradford City began in 1903. It's kind of the sporting scenario is kind of sparse. What sports there are, by and large, they're played by middle and upper class men. Most ordinary people are still working 6 day weeks. They'll be working probably in Bradford in the mills. They'll be working 10, maybe even 12 hour shifts, 6 days a week. You only have Sunday off. Things only begin to change in the 1870s when people working in factories get a half day holiday on what was called a half day holiday on a Saturday afternoon. But in terms of sport in Bradford in the 1860s, it's kind of at the very beginning. It's just before the big bang, if you like, when football and rugby start to explode across the north of England.
So in terms of what we now call rugby league, that obviously started out as rugby, and that was rugby league, rugby union, incorporated together. What difficulties did rugby face? Because I think right from the start, a lot of people preferred rugby, actually, to association football in terms of the participation levels and the crowds.
That's true. That across most of the north of England, rugby was the most popular version of football as it was seen then. Soccer very much came second. So if you look at Liverpool and Manchester, which today we think obviously is hotbeds of soccer, they were rugby towns. And in fact, rugby in the north of England was first played in Liverpool in 1857. then the first club was formed in Manchester in 1860. So Bradford were pretty much near one of the first clubs in the north of England to be formed. And you look right across the north of England, what happens in the 1860s and the 1870s, you get a lot of people who've been to private schools, to universities, coming back home to the family business, and they set up their team because rugby had been very popular in schools. Tom Brown's school days, the novel had been a bestseller when it was released in 1857. Just like Harry Potter, it's the Harry Potter of its day, massive, massive book. And at the centre of Tom Brown's school days was a rugby match. And that meant that people thought, well, read the book, thought this is a game I want to play. And so people brought that back when they came back from their private schools or from Oxford or Cambridge, wherever they were. They set up teams in their local towns. So Bradford were one of them, then you get Leeds, you get Huddersfield, you get Hull. And then across Lancashire as well, you get the same thing going on, Manchester, Liverpool, and all you get towns like Warrington, Wigan, all formed in the 1860s and 70s. And the game's really popular. In Yorkshire, what really takes it into the stratosphere is in 1877, the Yorkshire Cup starts. And at that point, all of a sudden, people think, wow, what have I been missing out on? Here I can go and see Huddersfield play Halifax, and I'm from Huddersfield, so I've got to make sure I beat Halifax. And somebody's from Halifax, they want to go to the match and see their rivals down the road in Huddersfield get beat. Same with Bradford and Leeds, just as it ever was. That dates all the way back to the 1860s. And that's what meant more and more people got involved. And it started to spread. It wasn't just middle-class men who were playing it now. It was the people in the factories, down the pits, in the docks. Industrial workers, the sort of heart of the industrial north who produced all the wealth. Ordinary working class people went to play and to watch the game. And certainly, until the early 1900s, rugby is far and away the most popular sport in Yorkshire. And it's only in the 1890s when Manchester City, Manchester United and Big Ten and Liverpool start to be formed that rugby starts to lose some of its popularity to soccer in Lancashire. So really, for the whole of the 19th century, for 40 years from the 1860s, rugby is the most important sport in Yorkshire and most of the north of England. And it's in that cauldron of interest and passion for sport, for rugby in particular, that the seeds for the Northern Union, for the split are sown.
Thanks for listening to the story of the RFL 125 years. In the next episode, Mick and Tony discuss the separation of Rugby League and Rugby Union in 1895.